Have you ever actually sat down and physically written out your origin story? Like, I can always tell the people who've actually given significant thought to this versus the people who don't and are just winging it every time. The problem with winging something every time is it's not a script, so you can't measure it. Don't wing everything in your business, right? If there's no system, it means you are the system, right? So you gotta get it out of your head.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on? Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. I have a bit of a trick. I learned this early on. When I first read Russell Brunson's Dotcom Secrets book, this is version one of the Dotcom Secrets book. I actually read a lot of it when I was in the Army and I was in this training. I remember one day I was laying in the dirt for like 10 days and just you kind of get bored out of your mind. Like that's half of it is just learning to play the mind games, you know, and survive them, if you will. Like, even if nothing's happening, like, you know how bored you get just laying there for that long? Well, I used to kind of get in trouble because I would sneak in. When I was in basic training, I actually got in trouble because I would sneak in, like finance books. Like, other guys were sneaking in other stuff. Read between the lines there. I was sneaking in financial spreadsheet books. And I mean, it shows you how much of a freaking nerd I am, right? And so I'm going through all these books, and I got punished because I got caught reading these like self-help books in the middle of like, you know, situations where you shouldn't be reading a book. Oh gosh. Well, anyway, so that didn't really stop when I finally was, you know, becoming an officer, and I remember this one time I was laying in the dirt. I was like, you know, I'm going to go through this book, Dotcom Secrets by Russell Brunson. And a $7 free plus shipping book, right? Got it from the book funnel. And for me at the time, $7 was even like a lot. Like, I mean, I really was. We were poor, man. And $7 free plus shipping felt like just a ton of money, right? I mean, that was, you know, for example, when I was single, and in college, my budget for food was $20 to $25 a week. That's what I would just use to eat. Like, and so $7, we're talking days of food. You know what I'm saying? So like, it felt like a lot for me to do that. But I did it. And I got this book, $7.95 free plus shipping. And I go in and get the book, and I'm consuming this book, and I'm laying in the mud and the dirt. And I kept it in a plastic bag in like the one of the pockets of my uniform. And, you know, it was always like these little pen holders on uniforms and such. So I would keep, you know, a pen and pencil right there, and I would be taking notes, and then I would hear someone come down the trail. And so I would pack up the book real quick and shove it back in my pocket and like pull my M16 up, be laying in the prone, looking out in the distance. I mean, like, anyway, so I read this book, right? And I read this book and I read the book and I marked it to death. And I was super engaged with it. I mean, few times in my life have I been that engaged in a piece of education. And I read this book, I'm going through the book, and I realized that I was going through the script section. Like, I had to learn how to tell my story, right? I had to learn how to tell my story. What was my origin story? And I went through what basically every person goes through whenever they start down the entrepreneurial path. And especially as a marketer, most of us go, or a lot of us, there's at least a pattern where if you were not previously living in a gutter, if you were not previously poor, if you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have the rags to riches story. How come I can't be followable now? Right. And that's a false belief, first off. But I remember going through myself, and I remember I would sit down and this is how I got around that. And that's the purpose of this episode. The purpose of this episode was because I wanted to share with you I am so glad that I did this. This is one of my accelerants. This is one of the moves I made early on that made it so I could pitch easier, faster, know my story, tell my story. And this is going to be simple, and you're going to be like, this is extremely underwhelming, Stephen. All right, here it goes. So I was reading this book, right? Dotcom Secrets. I go through it. I'm reading it. my brain is exploding, face melting. You ever have those experiences when you're in the entrepreneurial path, when you're like, you get those moments and those feelings where you're like, oh my gosh, I am doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Have you ever had that feeling? Like, I'm doing exactly what it is that I believe I was born to do. Not that I am getting a gold medal in it, but I'm in the pursuit of it, which is why I call my company Pursuit of Profit. All right. That's like my old business and my old, you know, that's it. It's still the name of it though, like Pursuit of Profit, right? That's why it's on the name of the building, Pursuit of Profit. Not that it's even the attainment of, just the pursuit of it makes so much amazing things fall from your eyes and your ears. Like, holy smokes, the scales from your eyes drop. And you're like, oh, that's what's available in this life. You get empowered as a human being. It's one of my favorite aspects of entrepreneurship and capitalism. So anyway, I'm going through and I'm making all of these scripts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have the story. And I get it. And so there were times, I spent a lot of time watching other people's sales videos and writing whatever they said. And so I would listen to someone else's sales video for 3 seconds. I would press pause on it. I would write whatever they said. I would listen for 3 seconds, press pause, write whatever they said. I did that for days, like back to back. It was one of the first ways I ever learned like the scripting style for like lead gen products, you know, like lead magnets. Some of the first lead magnets I ever put out, I had just watched a whole bunch of other sales videos of successful things. I wrote them verbatim, flipped out my stuff, made it my own, put it in my own words, and then filmed it. What an education. I mean, that was amazing. I'm so glad that I didn't know about transcription services to do that by hand. I mean, I did that by hand so many times. It's where I got half of my scripts. So I get to this spot where I'm realizing I need to get good at telling my origin story. And this is a common mistake like that people will believe, you know, in this game. And I get it. It's like, oh, I don't have the rags to riches story. I didn't work for anyone famous. Like, who am I to tell my story? Like, I get it. I totally get it. I went through the same crap myself. Most people do. And so the way I solved that, I was by transcribing by hand, right? By watching a bunch of other people's sales videos, listening to other people tell their stories. I mean, that's all I would do sometimes in the mornings and in the late evenings is would just watch sales videos. Much like people would watch a TV show, I just said no to all of that for quite a while. And I just, no Netflix, no, didn't really go to any movies, didn't play video games. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't do like, and I just gave myself to a season of immersion. And that's half the answer. But the other half was by me physically sitting down and writing my origin story. And I've noticed that not a lot of people do that. And they'll be like, what's your origin story? And they spend time putting together their origin story, but it's not like, I don't know. I just find that it's, have you ever actually sat down and physically written out your origin story? Like I can always tell the people who've actually given significant thought to this versus the people who don't and are just winging it every time. The problem with winging something every time is it's not a script, so you can't measure it. Don't wing everything in your business, right? If there's no system, it means you are the system, right? So you got to get it out of your head. So sit down and actually write your origin story. And if it has been a while, it might do you some good. Origin stories change over time. As you get more experience, as things pop up in your world, as you begin to solve bigger and deeper problems, your origin story changes and develops. And because the purpose of the origin story, people misunderstand the purpose of the origin story. The origin story is not to set you up. The purpose of the origin story is to sell a product. That changes what you say, right? Now, don't make up a fake story, right? You tell a real story. I totally believe in karma. I think we're all going to die one day and have to account for what we did and did not do, right? Don't lie. But you also can tell your real life story in a way that is entertaining to listen to. And that's the purpose of using scripts. So when you go use like a script template, the script template that you tell, just use it as prompts. So, I mean, this is literally what I did. So I would wake up super early. All right, fast forward a little bit. I read Dotcom Secrets. I ended up getting, you know, hired working for Russell. And then shortly after all of that, what happened was we started working on the first draft of Expert Secrets. And it was really cool to like listen to Russell's thoughts on all of it. Like, oh, we need this. We need that. They got to tell story this way. And this is where, right? Expert Secrets is very much the story-driven book. A lot of story in Expert Secrets and story templates. And I got to tell you, I think it was the first time I really sat down and truly actually wrote my origin story. And I sat down and just started writing it. Like, well, first, this is the backstory that's interesting. And then, right, here's the wall that I ran into. And here's the epiphany. And here's the guide that I kind of ran into, whether a piece of education or a person. Right. And then this happened and this happened. And then here's the surprise ending. And then here's the achievement. And then here's the transformation. All the things that make up the actual origin story script, like actually sit down and write it. I wish there was more of an eloquent answer to it, but like what you end up finding is they're harder to write than you might think. And it's not because you don't have enough of a story. It's because I find that once you get started, it's hard to get someone to shut up, right? Where you start believing, we go the other way, where every detail is now pertinent to the sale. And that's not true. And that's one of the reasons why origin stories kind of shift in shape and kind of change over time, because they don't, like, you change. And it's a story. It's about you. It's a story that helps people go like, oh, wow. Right. And a lot of people say too, like, does the origin story have to be about me personally? No, it doesn't. It can be about somebody else. You can use testimonials for origin stories. Right. It's just an origin story about the other person. And it's still an origin story, even if it's not about you. But what it is here's the power of story. Let me give you a prime example right here. One day, I came home from work, and I'm just making this up right now. Okay. I'm totally making this up, but just follow me. Here's one of the reasons why story is so powerful. Okay. I'm going to teach you right here why we care. All right. Let me just make something up. Let your imagination run wild as I go here. All right. So here it is. One day you come back from work or wherever you are. And as you're coming back from work, let's say you live in an apartment, and you walk up the steps to this apartment. And as you're walking up the steps to this apartment, it's this apartment you've lived in for 2 years. All right. And so as you walk up the steps of this apartment, you walk up to the door and you open the door, and the door is the same color, obviously, as it's always been. And the color of that door, for whatever reason, there's this familiarity that that color brings, and it means rest. It means, it means exhaling. It means putting the day down. And whenever you walk to that door and the color of that door, for whatever reason, it is subconsciously, and you just know, triggers this internal, like, you know what? That was a tough day. I'm going to get a chance to rest. I'm going to chance to recharge. When this day opens, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And you walk up to the door and you open up that door. And there's always that same spot in the carpet that creaks every time you step, and you push there. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. The creak noise comes out, right? You kick your shoes off, and as soon as you open up the door to your apartment, this most amazing smell, right? A feast has been prepared on the other side of that door. And this is a special occasion. This is incredible. Like, oh, what a surprise. You open the door, a wonderful aroma, this incredible food smell just comes billowing out of your apartment. And as you continue to open the door, you smell it even deeper and deeper. You close the door behind you, or kick off your shoes, put down your bag or whatever, and just go to your loved one and give a big kiss and big hug. And sure enough, you look at the kitchen table and this most incredible spread of food is right there. You have an incredible evening, full of memory, right? You do all of the most amazing things that make you feel recharged and ready for the next conquering of the day, the next day. All right, let me stop there. Okay, let me ask you a question. This is why story is so powerful. All right, this is why you need to sit and write physically your origin story. And if it's been a while, do it again. All right, check this out. You come home from your day at work immediately. All right, I'm going to tell you right now that as I put this episode out, around 3,000 people will listen to it in the first month if it's slow. So 3,000 of you are going to listen to this. My guess is 3,000 different ideas of what it means to come home from work just spun out. Ooh, let's keep pulling on this thread. When you were walking in your mind's eye up to your apartment door, what color was the door? For me, it was blue. There was this house, there's this apartment that I lived in for a while. It's a blue door, blue apartment. There's a specific memory in an apartment that I'm thinking of, actually. Well, what was it for you? Oh, that's really interesting, because for me, it was blue. No, it wasn't blue. It wasn't red, it was blue. Oh, it was green for you? No, for me, it was blue. Does that make sense? Okay, when you opened up the door in your imagination, what was the food smell? For me, it's like Thanksgiving stuffing. A lot of people, it's everything else. I've done this multiple times to live stages, off of live stages. This is a huge deal to realize. This is why we tell stories. Stick with me. I'm wrapping it home here in just a second, okay? All right, when you took your shoes off, what were your shoes? Were they different than the ones you have on now? Interesting. When you stepped on that spot in the carpet that creaks the same way every time, what was the sound of the creak? No, mine was All right, stick with me. Guys, storytelling is powerful because it takes the listener and makes them the protagonist. When you get good at telling stories, someone gets to live your origin story without actually having to go through it. Mic drop. Pause for effect. When you get to actually tell your story in an effective, sales-focused way that is not slimy, but still brings the listener along, they get to be the protagonist in your storyline. What that means is they get to experience all the emotions without the time it takes to experience them. For example, right? I might go tell this story that really has spun across 2 years, but because I tell it in 2 minutes, they get 2 years worth of emotions in 2 minutes. Now, obviously, that would be a lot emotionally for anybody, but you get the point. The point is that you get to have the person follow you along emotionally as they're experiencing the facts, as if it was themselves. And since protagonist, like when you listen in to the story and they become the protagonist of the story, what happens is, they get a chance to, you're gonna hear my clicker here. I'm driving, obviously. I'm safe, everybody. But what happens is they get to take the things and the experiences of their own life to hear your story. Meaning the only way they make sense of your story is by taking the elements in their own history and playing out the storyline. This means it's the equivalent of letting you sit inside of a car before you buy it. When you tell a story, you're in essence having somebody try on your life. And when you get better at telling the story, they don't have to go through what you went through to go through what you went through. They can just hear it. They emotionally experience it. And so now when you say, look, this is where I went, so therefore I made this product. And if you want it, here's the offer I've got. They go, oh my gosh, emotionally, I understand why you spent so much time putting together this story and that offer, because I just experienced what you experienced. It would be ludicrous for me to not move forward with your offer, having gone through what we've been through together, even though they've not gone through anything with you and they just listened to your story. It's making sense. And so this is part of what I realized back in the day. And I was like, oh my gosh, like story is one of the most unifying tools on the face of this planet. And when you get good at telling them and you tell them in a format that's easy to digest as the listener, that lets them follow you, not just with facts, but with their emotions, it actually makes the sale easy because they, in essence, have quote unquote followed you through your decision making process of why you found it pertinent to create your offer in the first place. Right? So when you think about your origin story, yeah, it's your origin story, but too many times people think it's like, well, it's my story. And then they go, I was born in Utah, which I was. I was born in Utah on April 22nd, 1988, which is my birthday, right? And they start on things in the story that have nothing to do with the sale. You are not the purpose of your origin story. Your offer is. And so don't think of it as your origin story. Think of it as your offer's origin story. And then it gets easier to tell it. You're like, oh, I understand the purpose of me telling the story now, right? It's not to say that you can't tell stories about you. Certainly do that. But the purpose is the offer and the sale, not you being the attractor. This is not about you being more famous. Look at my story. Look at my amazing thing. The point is to guide them through a journey emotionally so that by the time you get to the punchline, they're like, oh my gosh, I see exactly why I needed to make this offer. And you're like, yep, order forms in the back. It makes sense? That's the reason. That's the purpose behind it. And so too often there's misplaced focus. The protagonist of the story in an origin story is I'm going to say something here. I'm going to try it on. Okay. It's not really you. Okay. The protagonist in an origin story. Yeah. It's you in terms of you're the one we're following, but the point, the punchline, the purpose, the whole reason for the story is your offer, not making you look cool. Right. And so that's why you should sit down and really think through this story. Write down the prompts. Write down what it is. Like, oh, you need to know what the backstory is that makes us interested in you. Write that down. Spend some time typing it out. Feel it out. Test it out on people. That's half the reason I do a podcast, man. I'm trying stuff on you guys, right? I am. I'm seeing what resonates. And what I get huge feedback on, I'm like, oh, cool. And things I don't get huge feedback on, a lot of times I'm like, really? Oh, I spent a lot of time on that one. But I'm not the one that I'm selling, right? You're not the one that you're selling. So even with your stories, you can't ask you what the cool stories are. You still got to go try them. So how do we do that? Use the prompts, write your answers to the prompts of what it means to do the origin story script, and then start testing it out. And what you'll find is that let the market tell you where your story sucks, and it'll shorten the story. It'll bring some brevity to it, some details that are really important to you because you lived it. You'll find out are not actually that important for the sale. In fact, might actually be distracting from the sale. Right? All right. Well, I have sermoned for 20 minutes on this, but the story is just such a massive piece. And it's one of the most, I know story, but especially with like how things are now, let me ask you, do you think people want less customization and friendliness and personal touch in their life with how much we are de-tribing in their society? Or do you want more customization, more help, more feeling like they're actually being taken care of and not a number in our detribing of society? They want more, right? Telling your stories is a good thing. You're not being annoying. I'm going to be annoying telling my story. That just means that's something that you got to work on. That doesn't mean that origin stories or telling stories in market is wrong, right? It's not wrong at all. It just means you're being shown the next thing to work on internally, right? That's how I treat this game. Awesome. Well, all right. I'm saying a lot here. You guys are awesome. Rewrite your origin story. If you've not written it, write it for the first time. And the reason is, just as I said before, don't try to be scriptless. It's not cool to just be riffing all the time. It's not cool to just like, in fact, you're actually dissing your offer. There's nothing to measure. You don't know how to improve. You're not the one buying it. Don't ask you, right? So you got to write it out, make sure it's an actual script. And even if you're not saying it verbatim, follow the same bullet point outline. And now you got something manageable, measurable, something that is not you, something that has a system involved with it and lets you look at it externally, right? You can't, what's that whole thing where you can't build systems that you're still a part of? Who said that? I can't remember who said that. I think it was literally like Einstein or somebody. Okay. And I'm botching the quote, but you can't build a system when you're still a part of the system. Yeah. So you pretty much have to look externally in all of your stuff. Be your best heckler, you know, and that's also true for stories that you tell. Awesome, guys. Hey, we are having just a ton of fun with this NFT space. We're making it, you know, I don't want anyone to think like, oh, he's launching an NFT now. No, I'm just selling the same products that I've been selling, but now you just buy an NFT to get it instead. Does that make sense? So like, with some of my legacy, I'm talking about my legacy products specifically. My legacy products, like, I truly believe that the NFT space is what's going to preserve the info product model. There's enough people looking at it. There's enough people questioning it. There's enough people who are like, eh. I think the thing that will preserve the most amazing parts of the info product space is actually NFTs. So instead of buying a product and getting an NFT, it's buy the NFT and then the NFT happens to come with that offer. You know what I mean? And so that's all it is. Just a different way in the point of sale being collected. So anyway, if you're interested in how to do that to your business as well, I'll tell you the beauty of it is it actually makes it so that when people are done with the info product, they can sell it to someone else and get their money back. It's the ultimate risk reversal. But if you're interested in that kind of stuff, we're teaching those types of strategies. We're also teaching all of them, you know, how to actually set this stuff up for the first time if you've never done it at buyyourfirstnft.com. And if you are not new and just want some details on the NFT itself, go to capitalistpig.io. Capitalistpig.io. Cool. I'll probably do more podcasts in my car because the office is about 20 minutes away. Awesome, guys. Bye.
NFT, crypto, DeFi, it's obviously all here to stay. And the tech adoption rate for this whole thing has been faster than the actual internet's adoption rate in the mid-90s, which is crazy. And there's actually a lot of billionaires that have moved a lot of their funds to crypto because it's like a stable asset for them now. It's mind-blowing. So how do entrepreneurs use this? Number one, don't abandon your business, okay? We've been using NFTs as community builders and product builders, and we want to show you guys how to do it. If you want to learn how NFTs fit naturally into your internet business, just write in. Go to buyyourfirstnft.com. That is literally the domain. And it's a free 5-day challenge. We're not talking about pixelated weird animals wearing rainbow crowns, which I think is really weird. And that's just how NFTs have been used, but that's not how we use them. There's an insane BizOp right inside your own list and customer base, and we'll show you guys how to bolt that right into your business for free at buyyourfirstnft.com. Again, it's a step-by-step guide on how to set everything up and simplify all the tech stuff if you've never done this before. And those of you who have, we'll show you guys some pretty powerful how to bolt NFT to anything magic. So go over to buyyourfirstnft.com and take the free 5-day challenge now.